Let us turn to the Word of God as we find it in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We shall read just from verse 25 to verse 34. We read God's Word here in connection with our consideration of the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, beginning with verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We read concerning the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer in Lord's Day 50. Which is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. We're studying together, beloved, the perfect model prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ has taught us. That prayer is a perfect prayer implies, among other things, that in this prayer we have every single petition that we need to pray. The full implications of these petitions cover every single proper petition that we must bring to God in prayer. In the first three petitions, we are taught by our Lord Jesus Christ to make God the central concern of our life. And if that's true, if God is really the central concern of our life, if he is uppermost in our heart and in our souls, then we will also naturally make God the central concern of our prayers. We are to begin our prayers with the prayer for the hallowing of God's great and holy name. We are to pray for the coming of his final and glorious kingdom. Every day we are to pray for that. We are to pray for the fulfilling of his sovereign, holy, and perfect will in the world and in our lives. All of these things are tremendous verities. Never should we allow a day to go by that we do not think of these great things and make them the subject of our earnest and sincere prayers before God. The greatest failings, shortcomings of our prayers are almost always that we don't make God central in our prayers. As Reformed Christians especially, who by God's grace are taught and who confess that God must be central, we should surely in our prayer life make God central. Only after we have prayed for God are we to pray for our own needs. And there follows then in the Lord's Prayer three petitions for our own needs, beginning with the prayer for daily bread, continuing on to the petition for the forgiveness of sins, and finally the petition for deliverance from evil. Certainly, all of these things are great needs, and we ought to pray out of the consciousness of our great need in all of these areas. As we consider the fourth petition, we must realize its comprehensive scope. The fourth petition deals with all of the needs of our body. And we want to show how comprehensive that is. All of the needs of our body. Not only bread, food, and clothing, but safety from danger. Deliverance from diseases. Protection from the enemy. And all that we need in our life for our earthly pilgrimage. We must pray to God for all of these, and our Lord Jesus teaches us to do that in the fourth petition. God, who is our Father, must hear us every day, earnestly and sincerely praying to him for all of our earthly needs. And that's expressed in a very amazing way in the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, the prayer for daily bread. When we consider that petition, we immediately think of all sorts of questions. One of the questions, for example, is, why do we make the consideration of material things, earthly things, bread, the first, as far as our own needs? Are not our spiritual needs even more important? Why does the Lord teach us to pray for daily bread? How can we, who have such great abundance, How can we really sincerely and earnestly pray to God for daily bread? What is the relationship between our calling to work with our hands, to provide for ourselves and for our families, and this prayer for daily bread? We want to try and answer these and other questions in the course of the sermon this evening. Father, give us our daily bread. Notice, first of all, the giver. Secondly, the gift, and finally, our prayer for it. We must pray to God, who is our Heavenly Father, for all of the needs of our bodies. Implied in this petition, beloved, is the truth that we have nothing by ourselves. Nothing. The only one from whom we receive all things is the sovereign God of heaven and earth. Though we might imagine ourselves to have abundance, and though we might boast that we have acquired this abundance, our beautiful houses, the cars, and our luxuries through our own labors, we have nothing of ourselves. For God even gives us our life and health and strength, and He gives us our jobs, the opportunity for us to work. He gives us our wages. We have no penny, not even one penny, that we can truly say, "This is mine." We must receive everything for the body, for the whole of our earthly pilgrimage, from the gracious hand of our Heavenly Father. These things certainly do not come to us by chance. They do not come to us as the product of the laws of nature. Certainly they do not come to us from Mother Nature. We do not receive what we need from our employers, not rightly understood at least. We don't receive what we need from our businesses. We don't trust in our bank accounts, in our investments, in Social Security, in old age. We don't look to the state to give us what we need. We don't look to retirement accounts, though certainly the Christian must lay up in store for the future, and the wise child of God lays up in store for the time of retirement when he or she is not able to do his normal earthly task. But the point of this petition, and that's why it's, though it's very simple, it's also very, very profound. Everything that we have must come from God. It must be a gift from God, a gift of His grace and love and faithfulness. A gift that we of ourselves are not in the least deserving of, for we are sinners. God owes us nothing. Thus, He gave and does continually give life and breath and all things that we need. We have no right to make any demands on Him. All the things that we pray to Him for must be the gifts of His grace and favor and loving kindness. He is the Almighty. He is the Sovereign of heaven and earth, to whom belongs the whole of the universe. He created all things. He rules over all things. He distributes His gifts to His creatures. The psalmist says that He is good. His tender mercies are over all of His creatures. When we pray this petition, we must be profoundly conscious of the reality, the absolute reality of our dependence upon God. The Psalms speak of that very beautifully. The beautiful Psalm on the providence of God is brought to mind. He watereth the hills from His chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of Thy works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. All these things, beloved, are from God. And then again in verse 27, these wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Another beautiful passage in Psalm 81. Psalm 81 and verse 10. Listen to this verse. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Psalm 145. We just sang the Psalter rendition of Psalm 145. Listen to the words of verse 14 to 16. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. The passage that we read from the Sermon on the Mount, how beautiful it is. We are anxious about what we shall eat or what we shall drink or what we shall put on. And Jesus admonishes us for that anxiety, because this is the anxiety of the heathen. The child of God should not have that anxiety. Rather, the child of God should look to his heavenly Father to supply his and her every need. Every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father in heaven, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God which passeth understanding shall keep your minds and hearts in Christ Jesus. The fourth petition, beloved, of the Lord's Prayer is the prayer, the earnest prayer of the child of God. It is not a worldling's prayer. There's the foolish imagination that the world also can pray the Lord's Prayer. The world cannot pray the Lord's Prayer. The child of God, who knows the blessed reality that for Jesus' sake, God is our Heavenly Father, and He will provide for our every need. Because he loved us with such a great love that he gave us his own beloved Son to the death of the cross in order to save us and to give us the gift of life eternal. Therefore, he shall also freely give us all things, all that we need, also for our bodies. God is glorified when we look to him in prayer, when we acknowledge him as the sovereign of heaven and earth, and we pray to him to give us all that we need. God is pleased in that way to show that he is indeed God by giving to us, in his faithfulness and goodness, in his tender mercies, he gives to us all those things daily that we need. And when we pray to God, this petition, as well as the whole of the Lord's Prayer, beloved, we must do that acknowledging God. Prayer is an acknowledgement of God. When we do not do that, when we don't pray for our daily needs, when we take all things for granted, then we forget God. You know when that happens? When there's the greatest danger for us to forget God. You know when that danger is the most threatening and the most real? It's the very time when we are prospering, when we have great riches like we in America do, then there's a grave danger that we forget God and that we turn to idols, not perhaps the same idols as the Israelites did in the Old Testament, but idols nevertheless. And so Moses had to warn the children of Israel that after they were established in the land of promise and their farms and their crops increased and they became established and wealthy, then he warns them, remember. Remember the Lord. Don't say in your heart, by my might and by my power have I gotten me all this wealth. And then you forget God. And then you can no longer pray the fourth petition. The fourth petition implies that we acknowledge God alone as the giver of every good and perfect gift. Not only did he give us our bread and our clothing and our homes, he gave us our jobs. He gave us our life, our breath. He gave us our talents. He gave us our opportunities from day to day to work. Everything is from God. Not only the products of our labors, but the very ability and opportunity and talents whereby we perform these labors. These are all gifts from our Heavenly Father. And we must pray to him, acknowledging the reality of this in our lives. We must pray to him for all of our needs. In the Lord's Prayer, we are taught that the first petition with respect to our needs is a petition for our physical bodily needs. The petition for daily bread is not to be spiritualized. There are those who are wrongly spiritual, in this respect at least, and they interpret the fourth petition to refer to spiritual bread. Certainly we need even more than physical bread. We need the bread of life. But in the fourth petition, we pray for our physical bread, the bread that we eat. God is concerned with us, with that, and He wants us to pray for that. That isn't first because that's most important in our life, but that's first because that's the natural order. We are first of the earth, earthy. The first need that we have is a bodily need. Not because the material is more important than the spiritual, but because we are first material. We have our earthly bodies, and we could never exercise our spiritual calling, living in the presence of God in obedience to His Word, except our earthly bodies are cared for. The fourth petition has to do with our physical needs. Our needs. The needs, the basic needs of food and clothing and health and strength. We must not be falsely pietistic. There's no virtue in false asceticism that denies the needs of the body. There's no virtue in the lifestyle of the Amish that parades its poverty. We seek God for all of our needs. Now, as we said already, the fourth petition is a prayer for all of our bodily needs. And there is a certain broadness of the fourth petition that we certainly must understand. Not only do we need food and drink and clothing and shelter, there are many other things that we need that we must make part of our prayers to God. We need health and physical well-being. That comes from God. And so when we seem not to have that, when our bodies are stricken with disease, what do? The first thing we must do is pray to God. When we receive the word from the doctor that we have cancer, terminal cancer, what's the first thing we do? We pray to God for our earnest need. When we find ourselves racked in pain upon our hospital beds, we pray to God. And that is entirely proper. And we as parents, as we are an example to our children, I'm very thankful for the godly home that I was raised in. And I can remember my parents, maybe I said that before in a sermon, but falling on their knees in times of crises, family crises. The thing that they did, when we were afraid and we trembled because of what we were facing, or one of the members of the family were sick, seriously sick, they had to go to the hospital. What did they do? They prayed. That's what we must do. Pray to God that He will be with us and that He will take care of us, and that if it be His will, He will also bring healing and restoration. We must pray for that. We pray for our daily occupations. That's proper for us to pray. Young people, as you are going through perhaps advanced education and someday soon you graduate and you're looking for a job, it's proper that you pray to God that He will provide for your job. You need that. We need an earthly occupation in order to earn money to provide for ourselves, to support ourselves. And if the Lord will that he gives us a family, to provide for our family, and we make that a matter of prayer. If Father should lose his employment suddenly at the time of recession, then what must Father do and Mother do and the family do? They must earnestly pray to God. When the farmer who plants his crops looks for the growing of the crops and the harvest, what does he do? He prays to God. But when there's crop failure, he also prays earnestly to God. When the businessman has success in his business and he needs to know what to do in his business, he prays for wisdom to God. When business fails, when there is deep recession, what does the child of God do? What God glorifying thing does the child of God do? He makes this a matter of prayer. So all of these things are part of what we need. We also have social needs. We're social creatures. God made us to be social creatures. Usually when a person is a recluse and he doesn't want anything to do with anyone else, there's probably something psychologically or spiritually wrong with that person. We are part of a society. We are part of the communion of the saints, and we have a calling to interact with each other. We need friends. When our children are anxious about that and sometimes perhaps pray or sometimes cry because they don't have any friends, that's a real thing. Parents experienced that. We did when our children were growing up. There were times when they felt as though they didn't have any good friends. And what do you advise them to do? You advise them, first of all, to pray to God that he will provide for them good friends. Very important in the lives of our children. You don't say to your children, you don't need any friends. You've got your family. What do you need friends for? They need friends. And we teach them to pray for good Christian friends. We have the need of a marriage partner. God created us deeply that way. That most of us, though perhaps not all of us, nevertheless, most of us, we need a marriage partner. And when God brings our young people to that age of maturity where they begin to feel those profound feelings of need inside of them, then we don't make them ashamed of those needs. We don't tease them and put them down because they want these things. But we teach them to pray to God for a partner. What a tremendously important area of prayer for our young people, to make that a matter of prayer. All of these things, sickness and suffering, danger and enemies, they are all part of what we must pray to God for. And we must teach our children to pray for those things that we need. We must also always remember that the Lord's Prayer throughout uses the plural. Selfishness is a sin, and the most grievous manifestation of the sin of selfishness is the sin of selfish prayer. Prayers that are for me only and for my need and my happiness. That's a sinful prayer. The Word of God tells us, let everyone think not only on his own things, but also on the things of others. A great area of our calling to pray, beloved, is praying for one another. Let supplications and prayers and intercessions be made for our fellow saints. The word our, the plural in the Lord's Prayer, comprehends the whole family of God, our brothers and sisters in the Lord. If we have a biblical prayer life, as we should have in our life every day, times when we pray, there should be a lengthy section of that prayer life that involves thinking about and earnestly praying for the family of God. There's lots of people in our congregation who are going through severe trials. As a pastor, I know that perhaps more than anyone else in the congregation. Are we praying for them? How do we do that? Do we do that simply, Lord, bless the sick? Amen. And that's the kind of prayers that we teach our children. Lord, bless the sick. Amen. Or are we truly on our knees and spend a time, even a lengthy time, in our prayers, praying for our fellow saints? If we love them truly, as we must love our fellow saints, one of the ways in which we sincerely and really show our love for them is the time we spend on our knees, crying out to God earnestly for His blessing upon our fellow saints, fellow members of the body of Christ and the family of God. This is part of the whole broad perspective, the proper broad perspective of the fourth petition. Jesus, you might ask the question, well, where does Jesus in the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, teach us to pray for one another, for those who are sick and going through trials? The answer is simply here, in the fourth petition. We are to pray for one another. And those prayers are significant. God is pleased with those prayers. He hears those prayers and He answers those prayers. I visited people in the hospital who have been so encouraged by the knowledge that many saints are in earnest prayer for them. Brethren, pray for one another. Don't pray only for your needs or only for the needs of your family and your home. Don't be so selfish. Pray for the saints of God. So we could go on to point out the proper comprehensive perspective of the fourth petition, including all of our bodily needs. But there are also three points that we must make that show us the proper limitations of this petition. The first is that we are to pray for bread. Bread is not a luxury. The very expression of bread suggests that in this prayer we are to pray for the basic necessities of life. We are not to pray for riches, for luxuries, for the dainties of life, for beautiful houses and cars that are status symbols in society and luxury vacations and world cruises. Now, God may give those to us, and they certainly are not evil in themselves. But never must we put our hearts on these things so that we begin to pray for them. For then soon do our prayers become carnal. Nowhere in God's Word are we told that the Christian life must expect prosperity and riches and health in this world. There are many that don't have that. Never are we to set our hearts upon riches. He that desires to be rich, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he will find that those riches become a snare to him. And he's talking not just about the ungodly, as Psalm 73 does, but he's talking about the child of God who sets his heart on riches and begins to pray for riches and to make riches the pursuit of his life. There's a very great danger of becoming carnal and covetous and worldly and silencing your prayers. Because you have so much already, why do you even need to pray to God? And you forget God, and we forget to be thankful to Him. There's lots of admonition in Scriptures that warn us about this. And let's not imagine that we don't need those warnings. So the Lord teaches us in this petition to pray for our daily bread. Our bread. Our bread for one day, not for tomorrow, but just for today. As the Israelites were going through the wilderness, God gave them manna every morning to teach them that they must daily depend upon God for their bread. When God did the beautiful miracle in the home and life of the widow of Zarephath, He gave a little bit of meal in the bottom of the barrel and a little bit of oil in the bottom of the bottle. And every day she had to trust in times of adversity and famine that God would provide for her. The prosperity of our times makes it very difficult for us to pray this petition. We forget to pray it because we imagine that we have our abundance through the labors of our own hands, and we hold fast to that abundance and we want more and more and more. And then we no longer pray the fourth petition in precisely the way that the Lord Jesus has taught us. We are to pray to Him that He will give us this day our daily bread. Significant that you have two parts of that petition that seem to be a repetition. This day our daily. A careful study of these two parts of the petition, however, make it very plain that we don't have repetition here. But rather, the meaning of the second expression, our daily bread, is literally this, that which is allotted to us. God distributes His gifts, and He has allotted to each one of us what He gives to us, and we must be satisfied with whatever God has allotted to us. He doesn't give to everyone the same amount. In fact, there is a huge difference in the amount that God gives to one versus what He gives to another, and each of us must be content with whatever God has allotted to us. We must not be envious of our neighbor, and especially not of our ungodly neighbor. We have no reason to boast in our own riches that we are richer than our neighbor. For it is God alone who determines these things. We have no boasting in ourselves. We have no pride in ourselves. We have no reason to be envious. We are taught in the fourth petition to pray that God will give us that which He has determined for us, our allotment. And we pray for grace that we might be satisfied and content with what God gives us, even if it's a lot less than our neighbor. From all of these things, it's very obvious, isn't it, that this is a difficult prayer. Not as easy as it sounds, as we might first imagine. Only this spiritually minded person can pray this petition. This prayer, as the whole and every petition of the Lord's Prayer is, it's an expression of faith. It's a confession of belief in God, who must provide everything. That's what it is. It's a confession of the truth, as the whole prayer is, that God is our Heavenly Father. And then notice these two parts of the answer of the Heidelberg Catechism. They're very beautiful. We are to look to Him alone for His blessing and favor. For neither our care, nor industry, nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. And then notice this part also. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Alone in God, not in riches, not in insurance policies, not in nice houses, not even in our jobs. God could take all of these things away from us. And maybe sometimes we should pray that God would do that. Very few of us are old enough to have gone through recession far deeper than the recession that America is experiencing. But now imagine a far greater recession, a recession so great that we lose our houses, our luxuries, our cars, our jobs, and we don't even know where our bread is coming from. I'm very thankful that in the providence of God in my life, there was a time when we were immigrants from Holland. There was a period of time in our life where we didn't know where our bread was coming from. I'm thankful also for the experience that I had as a missionary to go to third world countries and to see people so poor that they lived in three-walled, not four, but three-walled bamboo huts with dirt floors. And in the kitchen, there was a bag of rice, a small bag of rice, and sometimes they had to go to the wild and pick plants that they could have any vegetable of any form whatsoever. And there were people that were so sick that they were ready to die, and there was no hospital and no doctors to go to. And we heard them pray the Lord's Prayer: give us this day our daily bread. Why has the Lord taught us particularly that form of prayer in all of its details, in those words that are added precisely? Why has the Lord taught us that kind of a prayer with respect to our earthly needs, in order that we must learn, that we might learn not to be carnal and not to be worldly and not to put our trust in uncertain riches, but rather to withdraw our trust from all creatures that our trust might be in God alone. And then this prayer, as the Heidelberg Catechism says so nicely, it's also a prayer for the blessing of God. It makes a distinction between the gifts that are in themselves good and the blessing of God. God blesses only His children. He does not have a common grace towards the wicked, so that He is favorable in His good gifts also to the wicked. We know. We know well, and we have to be reminded of that repeatedly, that we need not envy the wicked, because when God sends them prosperity, He sets them on simply places to cast them down to destruction. And we read the severe warning, go home and read that warning of James chapter 5, the first 5 verses, the warning against the wicked rich in their prosperity, how God is fattening them for the day of slaughter. It's terrible to have great abundance and not to acknowledge God and to use that abundance in wickedness and ungodliness, not to be thankful for that. For that brings upon the wicked the judgment of God. And even when He sends prosperity, He does so in His wrath and judgment. Now that's important for us to keep in mind, so that we are not envious of the prosperity of the wicked. But that's important for another reason, beloved. We ourselves must learn from this petition that we are not to be carnal and not to imagine that a man's life consists of the abundance of things which he possesses. Without the favor and blessing of life, the whole blessing of God, the whole of our life is vanity. Psalm 127, listen to the first verse. 2 verses, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat the bread of sorrows. For so He giveth His beloved sleep. Trust in the Lord. Withdraw your trust from all creatures, and look to Him alone by faith to bless you with all things that you need. That's what Jesus says to us when He gives us this petition in the striking form in which it is given to us in the Lord's Prayer. And He teaches us great spiritual lessons. We don't need to envy the wicked. When we pray this prayer with spiritual understanding, it delivers us from envy. That's a sin. And that's a besetting sin. And that's a sin that is rooted in our sinful nature. We must understand that it's better to have a little with the blessing and favor of God than to have great abundance and to have the curse of God with food and raiment. Paul says, therewith be content. And that's the other thing that this beautiful petition teaches us. It teaches us contentment. Whatever God gives us, when He gives us that which He has allotted for us in His sovereign goodness, we are satisfied with His gifts. And thirdly, when we pray this petition, then we are delivered from anxiety. We are. Be not anxious what you shall eat or what you shall drink. or what you shall put on, for this anxiety is characteristic of heathen people. We who know that God is our Heavenly Father must know that God will care for our every need. He's the sovereign of heaven and earth. He loves us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He teaches us to pray to Him every day, Father, give us our daily bread. And then we don't have to fear. Then we're delivered from anxiety that troubles so many people, that causes psychological, spiritual problems in the lives of many people because they are troubled by the sin of anxiety. Pray to God, our Heavenly Father, for all that we need, and He will give us, out of the riches of His grace in Christ Jesus, He will give us all things that we need. And we acknowledge Him. We give Him thanks. And when we do that, beloved, then we bring glory and praise and thanksgiving to God. That's the petition. And that's our great desire, isn't it? That God's name be praised. We praise Him as He gives us our daily gift. He cares for us in His mercy and loving kindness. When we are troubled by sickness, we turn our eyes to Him. When we are afraid of dangers, we turn to Him in prayer. When we have to face the last enemy and we tremble because the fearful reality of that enemy, we go to God. We pray earnestly to Him, and the peace that passes all understanding keeps our minds and hearts in Jesus Christ. This is the prayer of the first petition. Lord, teach us how to pray this petition in the very way that our Lord Jesus Christ has taught us, that we might have peace and contentment and faith and trust in God, who is our Father, for Jesus' sake. Amen.